Let's pray. Gracious Father, we come on this holy night. We come to celebrate the love and mercy and grace that you've shown to us by bringing your Son into this broken world. One who would come to redeem and do what we could not do. So Father, I pray right now as we open your word, as we continue to worship you, that you would so fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, or that the words that we hear tonight would sink deep into our hearts. As we look at this story that many of us in this room have heard for years upon years, let us hear it afresh today. And I pray that as we do, Lord, that you would, through the power of your Spirit, change us. That you would, through your grace, transform us more and more into the image of your Son, whom you gave for us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, Merry Christmas. It is good to see y'all, and it's fun for me personally to get to see some who haven't been able to come over these past months. So I'm so glad that you're here. Well, one of the things that I love to do this time of year as Christmas comes, I love to read notes that kids write to Santa. And so let me just share a couple of them with you. First one goes like this: Dear Santa, I think you're a fat man, and I'm not leaving you any cookies this year because Mrs. Claus said you're on a diet. You need to stay away from junk food and don't eat too much on your trip around the world. That's why I'm leaving you vegetables and ultra-slim milk this year. I hope you lose some weight, because with all those toys in you, I'm starting to feel sorry for Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen and Rudolph and the others. And I sure hope you give me everything I asked for this year. Another one goes like this: Dear Santa, you didn't bring me anything good last year. You didn't bring me anything good the year before that either. This is your last chance. Signed, Alfred. How about one more? You better give me a pony this year, or there will be consequences. I love kids because they express themselves in a way that adults really don't. Even though we think it, we just don't say it. And you know, the reality is, as those kids each had something they wanted, so do you and I tonight. Every one of us comes in here wanting something. And many of us, if we took the time, we would probably fill up pages in a little book of things that we want. And what I want you to hear tonight is this, that what you find in this Christmas story that William read just a minute ago out of Luke 2, not only will you find what you want, you will find more than you ever imagined. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. This God who has loved us so much. I mean, I want you to think for a second about the Father's love for you and me. These people who sin, who rebel, who turn against God over and over again, yet God in His mercy and grace and frankly His love for us knew that the only way that we could become whole, that we could have a reconciled relationship with Him, was for Him to send His Son into this world. To come and do what you and I could not do. To come and give His life in our place so that through His death, you and I could find life. Friends, that's what this story that we're going to look at tonight is all about. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's because of God the Father's love for you and for me, that He would come and restore hope back into our lives. You know, that's what we've been looking at in this season of Advent at St. Andrew's. The theme this season has been hope restored. Because really, we need to know that this year, don't we? It's been one of the craziest years probably any of us have experienced in our lifetime. And one of the things that I hear, a statement that I hear from people often, maybe you've said it. If you haven't said it, I would bet you have thought it, is this: we just need some good news. We just need some good news right now. Well, friends, I want to point us back to this story in Luke chapter 2. Because if you want to hear good news that will not just be for this Christmas season, but a good news for you every day you live, it's what the angels proclaimed to the shepherds on that night when Jesus was born. So I want to take you back to that scene, if you will. The shepherds are out in this field with their sheep. Jesus is, his mother, Mary and Joseph, are not far off, and Jesus is born. And all of a sudden, the heavens opened. Could you imagine being there in a field and the skies, the heavens opened, and all of a sudden, this angel begins to declare something. And here's what we see. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." What I want you to see is this incredible scene. The heavens opened up, and the angel declared that the Savior of the world had been born. Listen, if you've ever doubted God's love, I want you to see in this scene God's love like never before. When you've cried out and said, "Help," when you've cried out in the midst of your brokenness or the brokenness of a family member or just life, the brokenness of life, and you've cried out and you wonder, is someone listening? I can tell you God hears. Because on that night when Jesus was born, the heavens opened up and God declared that his son had come among us to be born to live, who would ultimately die for you and me. And when I think about this scene, I think about the invitation to lift our eyes from the ground heavenward, to lift our eyes from looking down and looking up. You know, I was thinking about this. Do you know what keeps us from living lives of hope in a changing world that we live in today? You know what keeps us from living lives of hope? It's when we have our eyes down on earthbound things instead of up to heavenly things. I think for many of us, we live our lives like this, looking down, instead of seeing up, seeing the glory and majesty of a God who loves us, who came to redeem and restore us. So let me give you an illustration about this. How often we live with our eyes focused down. One of the habits, and I think it's one of the good habits that I've adopted since COVID hit in March, is that every evening, or most evenings, I take a 3 or 4 mile walk. So I leave our house and I go down Pebble Beach and I go up Rawling. And my family just laughs at me. And I didn't know this until months later. But one time they drove by and they just laughed. They said, "Do you know what you look like when you walk?" And apparently my posture is funny. So I'm a fast walker and I kind of go down like this when I'm going uphill and my eyes are down. So I'm looking down. And they just love to laugh about it. And I told Kimberly one night, I said, "Do you know why I look down at the ground when I walk on that road?" She goes, "Why?" I said, "Because I've seen 2 snakes on that path in the last couple of months. And y'all, I am terrified of snakes. So much so that Christmas time, talking about gifts and presents being wrapped, I received a gift one time, a box, like a shirt box, all wrapped up in a beautiful paper. And I thought, yeah, I'm getting a shirt. Well, I unwrap this box and out comes this live snake right at me. Can I tell you, you don't want to do that to me. They have still not lived that down. But I'm terrified of snakes. And so what I realize this is, as I walk, I'm walking and there's fear there. And my eyes are looking down. I think that is a picture of a lot of our lives these days. A fear that something bad is going to happen, a fear of the unknown. And we walk with our eyes down as opposed to up. You see, our eyes are earthbound instead of heavenbound. And friends, listen, when we live with our eyes that this world is all there is, what we're going to find is we're going to ride this roller coaster of life when there are ups and downs, highs and lows, because of the circumstances and situations going on all around us. And when we live our lives earthbound, we're going to be filled with fear, because we can't control the circumstances around us. Anxiety is going to be high because there are uncertainties around us. We've had more uncertainties this year than any year I can remember. And it's easy to think, okay, we're about to be done with 2020. 2021 is going to be around, and it's going to be all new. Well, it might be, but it might not be. You see, there's still uncertainties around, and when we live with our eyes earthbound, we are forgetting the glory of the heavens opening, declaring that there is a Savior who's come among us. You see, when we live with our eyes toward the ground, we live as if this world is all there is. And can I tell you, if when we live that way, we will never be content. You will never be satisfied. I still reach for things here, and so do you, but I'm learning the older I get. I wake up the next morning, and I'm satisfied the night before, and I wake up, and I still have longings again. And I'm realizing this world was never meant to fulfill them. Because when we place our hope in things of this world, you know what happens? They're going to fail us. They just will. But I want to tell you about this story. In Luke chapter 2, when the heavens opened up, Jesus came to offer hope to you and me that, friends, I will promise, will never disappoint us. You see, the heavens opened up that night that Jesus was born to draw our eyes heavenward, to see that the King of glory has truly come among us. And friends, that makes a difference how we live our lives. It gives us a hope in a world where there's not a lot of hope. But we have a hope because Christ has come among us. A Savior has been born. That's what the angel said. I want to tell you about this news. The Savior said, the angel said, this is good news of great joy. I wonder if it is that for you. Or has this story just become so maybe routine that it's no longer that good news of great joy? Well, what I hope tonight, that will be rekindled in a new way in your life. Or maybe for some of you, for the very first time, that you'll begin to go, oh my gosh, this is why we're celebrating Christmas. It's because God really did bring someone to do something about the mess in my life. And He did. You see, as Savior, Jesus came to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. All those things that we do that we become wrapped up with shame and guilt. He came to do something about that, you know. He came to take it away. And the way that He took it away for you and me is by standing in our place on the cross. You see, the Savior who was born in a manger would live a life that would end on a cross, all because of the Father's love for you and for me. It's crazy. It's otherworldly, but it's true. So that we would not just be reconciled to God, but that we would be forgiven, past, present, and future, and that we would live under the pleasure and delight of God. I mean, friends, think about this. Imagine waking up every day, living under this, say, waterfall of this love of God being poured upon us. That's what the good news the angels were giving that night. The Savior has been born to do something about our lives. You see, as Savior, He saves us from the craziness of trying to let things in this world satisfy our longings. You see, the good news of great joy is that He Himself satisfies those longings. The good news of great joy is that He's the God who's faithful to all His promises. You want to know who He is? Take a look at His Word. Look at His promises. He is faithful to everyone. And what's so amazing about Him is this: He's faithful when you and I are not faithful. That's the good news of great joy, isn't it? That He is the faithful God who is always faithful and true to you and me. Friends, the good news of great joy is this: that Emmanuel, God with us, has come. You see, God didn't just give us His Son. He gave us His Son. And when His Son gave His life for us, He gave us His Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit to live within you and me so that in the craziness of life and the challenges that are going on in your life right now, knowing that the presence of the Holy Spirit is with you, friends, you can live with a boldness and a hope to know that you are not alone, that God, who knows everything, knows how to meet you in that place even tonight. Listen, that is good news of a great joy. The difficulties and uncertainties that you and I face, they truly do begin to look different in the face of Jesus, don't they? Try and see, and you will find that they truly do. You see, this Christmas story is a story about hope restored because the Savior has come. So let me ask you this as I close. Where do you need to see hope restored in your life right now? Where do you want to see hope restored? Friends, can I tell you, it's not going to come from the stuff that you find under the tree tomorrow. I often think that it does because I like stuff. But I know that I wake up the next day and I want more stuff. Hope's not restored in that. Hope is restored in a person, and his name is Jesus. And he came among us to live and to die so that you and I could live and have life. So what I want to say as I close is this. It's great to celebrate tonight, and we have been, and we will continue to. It is great to celebrate on Christmas Day when you wake up tomorrow, and it is good and right to do. But let me ask you this. You going to wake up on Saturday and still celebrate? You going to wake up on Monday and still celebrate? You see, I think for many of us, what keeps the good news from being good news day after day is we've forgotten the celebration. We've forgotten that the heavens opened that night to draw our eyes from the things of this world to see the glory of God. Because when you and I set our eyes on the glory of God, friends, we have peace and we have hope because the Savior has come. Amen? So, Father, I thank you for, gosh, the power of your word, that it is truly living and active. Oh, come shape our lives by it. Come stir in us new and holy affections for you. Come redeem, restore, renew hope in our lives. That as you have renewed hope in our lives, we would be people who truly take this incredible message of your saving grace to those we meet every day. Thank you for love poured out. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.